According to the latest state figures, 5 people have now died of COVID-19-related illnesses, and there are, as we said a few minutes ago, 646 confirmed coronavirus cases in the state. Joining us now this morning to help analyze those numbers and how the virus is unfolding here is Dr. Davidson Hamer, Professor of Global Health and Medicine at the Boston University School of Public Health and School of Medicine. Good morning, Doctor, and thanks for joining us here again on Morning Edition.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
So the State Department of Public Health numbers from last night, 646 people with COVID-19, up 23% from Saturday. You told us previously that you expected the number of cases would go up as more people are tested. So where do you think we are on that curve right now?
I think we're still early on the curve. I mean, I think that we're roughly maybe 9 to 11 days behind New York City, which has quite a large number of cases at this point in time.
So what are we in for?
I think that there are a lot of people in, actually many of the hospitals have a lot of suspect people that are waiting for test results to return. There's still substantial delays with the exception of a few facilities that have their own testing in-house. More and more are trying to go that direction. So testing is still a barrier that's slowing thing and slowing down the process of identifying patients. But I think that there are clearly ill patients coming in from the community with suspect COVID-19.
What are you learning about the trajectory of the virus and who's vulnerable?
It's a complicated disease. I mean, as I mentioned previously, some people have a very mild syndrome and that's all they have. But others may start out with milder symptoms initially and then progress to severe manifestations with difficulty breathing, and a subset of those will really crash and end up needing intensive care unit management. They have what's called a cytokine storm with a very intense inflammatory response that precipitates a life-threatening situation. And we're learning ways to try and prevent that from happening, but that can be very dangerous.
You think this situation gets a lot worse before it gets better?
Definitely. And my hope is that the social distancing, all the measures that have been taken by the governor and by the city of Boston are going to help sort of spread things out over time and lead to an overall lower peak and less sort of complications. But only time will tell.
But what you're saying does make me wonder if we should be prepared to live our new isolated lives for even longer than maybe we had planned.
I think that may be the case. I mean, I think that if we do, flatten the curve, that it's going to extend out over 4 to 6 weeks, potentially even longer, that we're going to be in this state of siege against the virus.
All right. I want to ask some questions from our listeners, if we might. If someone is exposed and they quarantine for 2 weeks, when or how do they know they can interact with society again?
I mean, 2 weeks is, as far as we know, the full extent of the incubation of the virus. And if they've had no symptoms in 2 weeks, then they should be fine going back into interacting with people again.
Does coronavirus leave the system? Does it build up immunity?
Yes, as far as we know. But again, this remains an open question for other coronaviruses, the ones that cause seasonal common cold and upper respiratory tract infections. There's evidence that those can circulate every 2 or 3 years and that it's possible to be reinfected. With this virus, we don't know that reinfection is possible, although there's a suggestion of that happening in a few cases in China. So we really need to have a lot more information on the natural history of the disease, but also how protective immunity is.
One more listener question. What are the recommendations for handling groceries after we've brought them home? Also, newspapers, mail, and packages.
So, I think anything that's coming into your house that has a wrapper on, I mean, delivery services, I think, increasingly are going to be wearing gloves. But still, I think you can make the assumption that there's a small possibility that the surface is contaminated. So I would recommend removing wrappers, dispensing with them or recycling them, and then washing your hands before you touch the contents, the food or whatever's inside.
All right. So for a container of milk, for example, should you wipe down the outside of the container with your disinfectant wipes if you have the sanitizing wipes?
If it's not coming out of a plastic bag or something, that would be a reasonable thing to do, just as an extra precaution, especially for the elderly and really vulnerable, who if they acquire this, have a substantial chance of becoming quite ill.
Dr. Davidson Hamer, Professor of Global Health and Medicine at the Boston University School of Public Health and School of Medicine, thanks for speaking to us this morning, and I imagine we're going to be speaking again as this goes on. Thank you.
Okay, my pleasure.